Good Monday morning, if you're in Dallas-Fort Worth. If not, welcome to Mavs Land. It's a brand new show. This is your host, Isaac Harris, of the Dallas Mavericks Mav Studio 41. And I guess this is part of the Mavericks Podcast Network. That's what we're calling this thing. But brand new show for you. It's going to come out every Monday morning called Welcome to Mavs Land, featuring yours truly. If you're like, hey, I don't know who you are, or maybe you've listened to me before on some other podcast, most notably Locked On Mavs, a daily Mavericks podcast. I was on there with my good friend, the super talented Nick Angstead, for over 6 years doing a daily show with him, and had to step away from that. And now I am fully on board here with the Mavericks, doing a lot of fun things there in Studio 41. We have the Corner Three that's on every Friday with Bobby, Austin, Ivan, and myself. We do some streaming on Wednesdays. We're always dreaming up some like new things that we're going to film in the studio, and different interviews and fun things. And this is one of them, a new show that will be around 30 minutes. If you're a Locked On Mavs listener and you're listening to this, it'll be kind of similar. You're kind of getting a similar vibe on YouTube right now if you're watching that. But it's just a way for me to kind of lean into some of my writing stuff in a video format way more. I've been doing some video essays this year with the Mavs, and I love doing those. And this is another way for me to do that. So I'm excited. Where does the show name come from? You know, I think it was years ago. I was there at a media presser in the old practice facility, and a former front office member used this term Mavsland, and they used it kind of like, I think it was like a cheesy way. I took it as a cheesy way, and I just kind of like chuckled, and I was like, Mavsland, what the heck is this? I've never heard the MFFL community referred to as Mavsland, but he did. And since then, I've just heard it like sparingly here and there, just referencing the community. And I think it's like super cheesy. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to lean into it as this like Monday morning news vibe of, hey, just taking a stroll through Mavs land. And that's pretty much what the show will be. So I know Monday mornings, sometimes you are going to work and you're like, dude, I got to just listen to something, I don't know, fun about my favorite team. There's so many different other options out there because, I mean, there's no Mavs shows out there, right? So you got to have another one. But give it a shot, you know, every Monday, and we'll have fun with it. I'll ride solo some weeks. I will have some guests on some week from inside the organization, from outside the organization. And I think it will be fun. I think if you're a Mavs fan, you will enjoy it. So that's the show. That's Welcome to Mavs Land. It's on YouTube. It's on podcast platforms, whatever one you listen to. And it'll be coming out every Monday morning for you to listen to on the way to work. And you're like, hey, I'm listening to this around the world. It's not Monday morning. Quit referencing Monday morning. Whatever time it is, it will be there for you on Mondays. So what's the first thing we should talk about? I want to talk about dunking. All right. So when I was a kid, dunking was literally all I thought about as a kid when it was like referencing basketball. Like I remember watching these, you know, some of my early childhood tapes that my parents would show me, and it was like my crib, and it had this like flimsy little goal. It wasn't even like a little tykes yet, because I was just barely a toddler, barely walking, and just like teaching me how to like put the little really soft basketball in the goal. And obviously I wasn't shooting. I was like one. Some of you out there probably shooting when you're one and you're famous on YouTube or something, I don't know. And I was like dunking as this like toddler, and I just remember, you know, like that's the only thing I could do. I didn't know what I was doing though. I was just dropping the ball into the basket. Then as you start to get older, it's like then I got the little tykes, right? Like everybody had the little tykes goal, and just trying to dunk it, and you know, acting like I was certain players or you know, college players as a young kid. You always, and I don't know what they built those rims with. I get it, plastic, but I'm just leaning into it here. My goal never broke. And there's times that I dunked this ball so hard as a kid, and I thought I was like hot stuff as a kid, dunking on my dad or friends or whoever, as you know, like a six-year-old. And this goal just went through everything, still going. All right, we have one for our son who's five, and my wife tried to throw it away the other day as like a purging, toy purging thing. Yeah, we didn't throw it away, and she called me a hoarder, and I'm like, guys, I got to keep the little tyke sculpt. Anyway, let's keep going. This is part of the show, man. If you don't like me, then you're not going to like the show, because I'm going to share some personal stuff. We're going to have fun with the Mavs and what's going on. I remember growing up, even continue growing up as a kid, seeing a player in my high school dunk in like warmups. I came from a small school, so seeing an opposing team come in and dunk during warmups, everybody's freaking out because it's a dunk, right? Like dunks were such a huge thing. And then, you know, I remember watching dunk contests, and then you have the infamous 2000 dunk contest that if I had to rank the top basketball moments in which I watched on TV when I was a kid, I think of the 2000 dunk contest with Vince Carter. I mean, I can never get that out of my head. And I will go back and rewatch that over and over and over again, and having the posters on my wall. I had this like super, super cool dunk contest poster that was so massive, and it showed all these past winners and these different dunks they did in their contest. It was one of my favorite posters ever. And now in 2024, it feels like the dunk has lost its like aura. Like it takes an Anthony Edwards dunk the other night, if it was a dunk, that just like captivated everybody. And me too, because I love the dunk. And you're like, why does it feel like the dunk has kind of lost its juice in a way? I think there's different reasons, because we all know the arguments around All-Star Weekend. And we know the, you know, arguments of, hey, three-point shootout should be in place of dunk contest, and flip them now. This is what matters, the dunk contest. So it's like, yeah, cool. Well, if you throw people out there, we don't know who's doing it. And I don't have a solution to bring stars into the dunk contest. I don't. But the dunk contest just isn't what it used to be. It's not as good anymore. You also look at the effects of social media on dunking. I think it's affected it profoundly, because I think sometimes people, well, actually not sometimes, I think players won't, you know, defend or challenge dunks because they know that they're going to be sometimes postered, and then they're going to be the ones getting made fun of online. And it's like, I think the challenging of dunks has went down. I think the over, not leaning into, you know, some takes that were going on Twitter last week about, hey, we should up, you know, the price of League Pass here. Not going into that route, but I think we've kind of become numb to it in a way, because we've seen so many highlights on Instagram and, you know, in Twitter and all these different forms now, to where if you think about it, if you were watching basketball 20 years ago, it's like you weren't watching Twitter on your phone and seeing every dunk imaginable, or logging onto YouTube as some of you are watching it now and seeing every dunk you could possibly imagine, to where then a dunk happens in a game, you're like, all right, cool, I watched that last night laying in my bed watching dunk, you know, montages on YouTube. So I think that has taken away a little bit of it. And then you think about just how much players actually go for dunks now, of the risk and the saving energy for it, of like, man, do I really want to spend some of my energy on it? I mean, player health and playing in games is being talked, and we talk about it now more than ever. So I think all of these reasons have collectively played into the dunk losing its aura. But at the same time, I don't think it's lost its aura. Because I watched the Mavericks team the other night have 18 dunks. And I mean, I was going nuts about it. All right. Like, this is what, I mean, when was the last, besides some one-off dunks here and there that happened throughout the league, like the Anthony Edwards dunk, there was a Jalen Green dunk, you know, a few weeks ago that, you know, you might get a text from somebody and it's like, hey, did you see this dunk? Do you see this? Or you get on Twitter and you're like, all right, I got to just see what's, or X, whatever you want to call it. And you get on that and you're like, all right, I got to see this dunk. And then bam, you see it. And it's like, all right, that's pretty nasty. And then you kind of like move on, right? The Mavericks had 18 dunks the other day, and it was the closest thing that reminded me to Lob City in those Clippers days with DeAndre and Blake and in those guys. That was so much fun to watch. And you're like, man, dunks are cool. And now it's like dunks are, you know, like cool when it happens, I guess. It depends on what it is. But the other night, for Mavs fans, dunks were back. And we got to bring dunks back. Like, this is my thing. Bring back the cool dunks. Bring back people challenging people. Bring back people going for dunks more. My guy, Daniel Gafford, goes for more dunks than I've ever seen a Maverick go for in a very long time. He gets it around the basket. He's going to yam on you. He's going for it. Now, he's going to get blocked sometime soon more than what he has, but I don't care because he goes for dunks, and that is so much fun because we need to bring dunks back. Now, the Jazz game, in which they had 18 dunks. Can we watch a few? Can we? If you're on YouTube, if you're an audio listener, I'm sorry. This is why you gotta watch some on YouTube, because a really cool thing about having a show with the Mavericks is I can play any highlight or clip or video from past, present of the Mavericks, and it's part of this channel. So it's a lot of fun. So can we relive some dunks from the other night? Let's do it.
Deontay George runs into Luka. Luka on the floor.
Hustle, baby.
Finds Kyrie. Fantastic. Yeah!
Way to finish. I don't even know if y'all can hear me right now. But
on a platter for Jones to climb the ladder. But after Luka Doncic went down on the floor to get that ball. What hustle by the league's leading scorer.
Well, Luka on the deck. Over Derek to Kyrie. You can just
right
see
here.
This building in the Derek Jones Jr. Hiya!
Light 55.
Him.
All right, show me some more. Let's do this.
Pass.
Pull the pass inside. PJ Washington. More pain Laurie points for the Mavs.
Dominating that area.
They're starting to run away with this thing.
New cut, PJ. New haircut. Like it.
Since the end of the first quarter, the Jazz 27 points.
That hurt.
Wow.
Colin Sexton.
That hurt
my
gosh. That kind of hurt my ears.
I love the Daniel Gafford. Oh, here we go.
And Dallas with a long rebound.
Here we go,
and
baby.
They've got George back pedaling. And it's Kyrie with the alley-oop finish from Luka.
I tell you what.
We saw Kyrie dunk against San Antonio the other night, and he can fly. Kai can fly.
Luka set him up perfectly in the open court. Luka with the loose ball.
How? I don't even know. I was talking through that whole highlight. I don't know if y'all heard it because I hit unmute on my mic and I'm like, I'm just going to talk through this. So some of you are just listening on audio in your car. And you're like, this is just pure chaos. But you know what? You love that chaos because you know exactly the highlights that we're showing right now on YouTube. I don't know which one I got more hype for. I think collectively the play in which Luka dives backwards to Kyrie, which guys, an underrated part of this play. Luka hits Kyrie in full run. One, Kyrie just takes off. Luka's not even looking at the play. Kyrie knows that Luka's just going to throw it over his head and like, bam, the whole sequence. He hits him perfectly in stride over Kessler. Like he threw that so high. I love that play. I think that's my favorite play of the season because it involves multiple players. I could hear the argument for Kyrie's left-handed buzzer beater. Insane. The Luka lob to Kyrie. Just inject that into my veins. All right, like that, Kyrie getting up like that, like and throwing that. Bring dunks back. I think dunks are. I just watched that game, and I'm like, I love dunks so much. I love this team dunking so much, and it's not just a hey, it's an efficient shot. Cool. It's just adds so much more entertainment, and I like. As a sucker for like the family experience too, I'm like, dude, I just love like kids getting hyped for. I love my son getting hyped for seeing a dunk and just like how high they jump. And so anyway, we need to bring the aura back for dunks. We need the dunk contest back. If you're with me and bringing the dunks back, let me know in the comments. Or if you hate dunks, then don't let me know because you are zero fun. Just kidding. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Spencer Dinwiddie, former Maverick, recently signed with the Lakers a while back after the trade deadline. and a big time addition for the Lakers. And the silver screen and roll had some had a few of the quotes transcribed in which he talked after practice the other day. And I just want to throw this out there for Mavson, because he had so many moments for the Mavs. He's a past Maverick, and I'm going to pop this up here. All right, silver screen and roll. This was a quote from Dinwiddie after practice. And he says he's talking about adjusting to the Lakers systems and integrating. It's taking a little bit of time. And he says this. He said, it's technically foreign for me from what I've done in my career, but I feel sometimes like I'm on a Reggie Bullock roll getting graded on a Spencer scale. Let's go. A Reggie Bullock roll, but getting graded on a Luka, on a Dinwiddie scale. I just want to mention this real quick and just say, you know, maybe if you're thinking about how to like kind of judge some players or measure some players' success around the league, you got the Spencer scale to go by. All right, next, let's talk about the 7-1 over the last 8 games. Guys, that's pretty good if you didn't know that. These are the top teams over the last 8 games. Boston has went 8-0. They've won 8 games in a row. The Houston Rockets have won eight games in a row. Mavericks are 7-1. Denver 7-1. Oklahoma City is 7-1. So I wanted to look back at these 8 games, because something I'm fascinated by, or something that I've been just kind of like learning about this team, because I think the question is, all right, cool, they're 7-1. What does that mean? And because I think that's what you always have to ask, like, over the stretch of games, they've been playing really good basketball. What does it mean? And I think the question is, does it change the ceiling of this team? Do you think differently about this team? And I don't know if it's about the ceiling of the team, but I do think differently about this team. You say, Isaac, why? Thanks for asking. It's because they're winning. And I've said this multiple different times. I said this on Locked On. I was on Locked On Mavs last week with Nick. I said this. I've said this on the Corner 3 this past week. I said it on the live stream. So you're probably sick of me hearing that if you just consume all the Mavs content you possibly can. I say this. They're winning different ways. And that changes how I think about this team. Because if you just win games with one single way or one single path, or maybe even a second path, there's like one main path. And then there's this like slight side road that you're like, it's like the service road. You're like, I'm still getting there, but there's this like service road sometimes I take, and it's just a smaller road, but there's two ways that I kind of win games. Now that the options are like they're spread out so much. Let me give you an example of that. So you look at the three-point shooting over the past 8 games for the Mavericks. So like I said, the past 8 games, 5 best teams: Boston, Houston, Dallas, Denver, OKC, with a 7-1 record or 8-0 record. This is their three-point percentage, those other 4 teams in that stretch. Boston shot 43% from 3, pretty dang good. Houston 40%, really good. Denver 41%. That's good. OKC 37%. You know who's last on that list in 3-point percentage of those 5 teams? The Dallas Mavericks, 33% from 3 as a team over the last 8 games. And yet they've won 7 of those and lost just 1. That is a different type of team. Let's look at some of the past seasons. You go back to a couple years ago and the 2020-2021 season, there were 22 games in which they shot under 35% from 3. How many of those games did they win? 12. You look at just last season, the 2022-2023 season, there's 22 losses, sorry. You look at last season, 36 games in which they shot under 35% from 3 as a team. Do you know how many games that they won last season in which they shot under 35% from 3? 10. This year, there have been 17 of them. They've won 12. Okay? Not 17. Sorry, I'm just jacking up this whole stat here. There have been 29 of those games this season in which they shot under 35%, and they've already won 12. That's the total in which how many games they won back 2 years ago. It's already two more games in which they won last year in which they shot under 35%. It's showing, and you go back and look at some of the stretch in the playoffs in which they went on the Western Conference Finals run. It felt like, I mean, you could do all the stats on under 35%. I think they only won two games in that stretch to the Conference Finals in which they shot under 35%. And that's setting it at 35. I mean, we could lower it to 33 if you wanted to, because we know this Mavericks team has shot in the 20% handful of times. It just goes to show you that they don't, it felt like for years, I say years, but like a handful of years of the first part of Luka's career, that they lived and died by the three. That if it wasn't Luka scoring 48 points a game, it was this team getting hot from three and having to, you know, having to shoot 55 threes or having to hit a super high percentage and all of this stuff. And now they're showing that they can win without it. Doesn't mean that they can't improve on it, because we know that they have to improve on it. We know that they have, you know, role players across the roster and Maxi and PJ and these guys that have to improve on their three-point percentage. But they have a path in which they can win whenever those shots are not going down. And it doesn't require Luka going supernova. And I think that is something that is, it just changes so much about this team of like what you want to do, what you can accomplish moving forward. Couple other smaller things about this 7-1 run. Let's look at some lineup stats real quick. The new starting lineup. So we're talking about Luka, Kyrie, we're talking about PJ and Derek, and then we're talking about Daniel Gafford. Okay. Over this 8-game stretch, this new starting lineup or this new lineup has a net rating of plus 26. Hey, that's pretty good. An offensive rating of 118 and a defensive rating of 93. Have the Mavs found something with this new five-man unit? I think they have, and I think it's here to stay, even when Josh comes back from his ankle injury. So I like it. I think Derek Jones is the best point-of-attack defender on the team. He's a little bit longer than Josh, and yeah, just having him and PJ out there, there's still some defensive stats that show just what an impact PJ is having on this team. I know his three-point percentage is not where he wants to be. I think it was Noah Weber who tweeted out a video on Twitter of him asking PJ about his outside shot, and he gave a great answer for that. So, you know, look at that on Twitter, just how this is unusual for him. I'm still confident that this shot's going to come around. He's going to get the open shots. So, yeah, but, man, he just makes impact on – so many different areas of the game PJ does. So I'm confident. Am I overly confident? Irrationally confident? Is that the word? Maybe. I don't know, but I think it will come around. Another one. I mean, we could do lineup stats all day over this 8-game stretch, but I just want to throw this one out there real quick. Luka and Daniel Gafford on the floor together over the past 8 games, 114 offensive rating, 94 defensive rating, and plus 20 net rating. Really good. Really good. I think they found something with Daniel Gafford in the starting lineup. And just, you know, I said this on the corner three the other day. I think it's a testament to Derek Lively so much of just where he's at. I mean, I've been so impressed with him as a rookie this year, not just on the basketball court, and some of his numbers. And I mean, one game we start this season, I think it was Dwight who started the first game of the season. And then Derek Lively takes over for him in that second game. And he's been the starter. He's, you know, a rookie, a lottery pick, and then bam, like, and he's done a really good job and we all love him. And then bam, they trade for another center at the deadline. And now the center has kind of taking his place in the starting lineup, and it feels like it hasn't affected him at all. If it has, he's done a great job and he's so much more mature, as a rookie. But I don't think it has. Like, he still comes in and does his thing and kills it. And it feels like they have this great relationship and all of this stuff. And it feels like in a lot of situations in which you would possibly do that with a rookie, it might like crumble them because they're not there like mentally yet. In the NBA, and it feels like it's done like the opposite with Lively, and now they are this 1-2 punch. And I think there's probably some credit behind the scenes that goes to maybe the front office or coaching staff that had those conversations with Lively, going to the trade deadline or afterwards and stuff. And I just, yeah, I think he deserves some credit of just how he's responded to that and still being really good off the bench and really efficient. So Mavericks 7-1. been a heck of a stretch. Been so much fun. The Kyrie game winner, the dunk, you know, game the other day. Luka and Kyrie are just thriving. And speaking of that, let's talk about this Mark Stein article. Mark Stein, Substack. I don't know why you'd not be subscribed to it already, but if not, you need to, because Stein is great with the Mavericks. I mean, a lot of us have been reading Stein with Dallas stuff for years, and he's got his podcast with Chris Haynes, and you know who Stein is, and he's awesome. And he dropped an awesome story on his Substack over the weekend called Kyrie the Maverick, and I want you all to go read it. I'm not going to read direct quotes from it because I want you to go read it, and I'm not a fan when, yeah. So, Kyrie the Maverick. One of the things he talked about was just how happy he is in Dallas and how Dallas is, they have embraced Kyrie, not just the basketball player, but the person. And you just see that ooze out of Kyrie. You see that in some of his quotes. You see that was a plan of Dallas's from the beginning and how that has played out right now. And yeah, man, it feels like a relationship. Now I get it. Winning cures everything. What would this look like right now if we were losing and things weren't going great? But right now it's looking great. The Luka Kyrie relationship looks better than ever. And it's so much fun to see these guys celebrate together, to see, you know, stories that Stein talks about of Luka's birthday party and Kyrie being the last one there at his birthday party, to, you know, them going together to an optional scrimmage that was for, you know, guys that, you know, low minute guys that maybe are not playing very much right now, to get some run in. And these guys show up on an off day and they're like, hey, we're going to get some run with these guys. That's what leaders do, right? Like, not just one of them, but both of them showing up to, you know, hook that. I mean, that content right there is just like, it keeps me going. I love all of that. So yeah, go read that story from Mark Stein. It's great. It's insightful, gives you a glimpse behind the curtain to Kyrie and Luka in their relationship. So, that's exciting. You know what else is exciting? This upcoming stretch for the Mavericks, because this week, and this is something I'll do every week, every Monday morning on Welcome to Mavs Land, is I'll just kind of look at the week's schedule and kind of end the show, something with that. I might end the show too with some pop culture stuff, because can I talk about X-Men on here? Because I could nerd out on X-Men. I've waited for this show for so long, and it is living up to the hype, and I also got to watch it with my son, and this is also a moment I've dreamed about and waited for a long time, ever since that, I don't know, when I started thinking about a family and stuff, and I was like, man, you know, one day it's going to be really cool watching X-Men with my kids, and my son and I sat on the couch and watched it this weekend, and it's just a lot of fun, man, and I just love X-Men, so I could do an X-Men segment all day. But let's look at this Mavs schedule. So we got the Jazz tonight again, but this time it's in Utah. And then we have the second night of a back-to-back with arguably the toughest, most important games of the rest of the season are these two games this week against Sacramento. Sacramento game on Tuesday night, that second night of a back-to-back going from Utah to Sacramento. It's not like you're flying, you know, cross-country, but on a second night of a back-to-back, you don't like those. But the Mavericks need to win those. Like, these teams are right next to each other in the standings. So Sacramento game on Tuesday night, then you have another game in Sacramento on Friday night. You get two games, you know, or two nights off in Sacramento. What does the Sacramento nightlife look like? Those two games are so important for so many different reasons that, it could just sway so much. So I'm really excited about watching those games. And the next time you hear Welcome to Mavs Land will be after those games. Next Monday morning. So I'll record these every Sunday night and they will come out in the wee hours of Monday morning if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And yeah, if you got any tips, you could drop them in the comments. Be nice. All right. Come on, be nice. But I want to have fun with it. I want to be chill. I'll have different things that I'll talk about. If you see stuff online, whether it's social media or Mavs Facebook thing, I kind of want to like throw different like posts up sometimes and either casually make fun of them or have fun with it. I'll have some guests on. Don't throw at me guests right now. But we will have some people on, and it'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, hopefully you give me a chance to break into your Monday podcast routine. So I'll catch y'all next Monday. Peace out. Sorry, I had to use that.